Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. Port Hope Council is spearheading an effort to create a walk-in clinic. It announced the plans last fall. The clinic was supposed to open before the end of 2023. But a number of challenges arose. It is still not open, but officials say the goal is sometime in July. Mayor Elena Hankovinsky is a key figure in the walk-in clinic's development. She will provide an update on the project. She will shine a light on some of the unexpected hurdles. These include technical issues with software to securing Northumberland County Council's support. All have been instrumental in the clinic's progress. The clinic is meant to serve those who do not have a family doctor, but it is more complicated. You will want to listen carefully to this interview to fully understand who can use the services and some potential problems that occur if you use it but already have a family physician.
I am absolutely delighted to have with me today Port Hope Mayor Elena Hankovinsky. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
When we talked about the walk-in clinic last September, you were confident the clinic would open before the end of the year. And then the last week, the county announced the opening of the walk-in clinic will be taking place shortly. In fact, they used the word imminent. So let's start there. When is imminent?
Well, imminent is when the technology of the new billing system is sorted out. So I think that the two delays from the end of the year until where we are now are caused by two different unrelated factors. One is that the original lease holder of the space changed their minds at the beginning of January, at which point I approached the county and asked whether or not they would like to become involved in this project, knowing, of course, of the shortages of doctors that we have in the area, the number of unrostered patients, and the fact that we are entering into spaces, both levels of government in health and social services that historically, we may have not been part of. So community paramedicine would probably be a great example of that. And to my joy, the county did say that that's something that would be worth considering. And so that we continue to bring it forward to the council table. It's something I had talked about at the county level previously and had support from one of the subcommittees, but brought it right forward to the council. The council provided direction to staff for the county to play a role in helping to get through those last hoops and obstacles. So at the time, we thought it would only be that the county would be taking responsibility for signing the lease on the walk-in clinic and overseeing some of the hiring of support staff in the way of RNs that would be needed for the clinic. And we didn't think that that was going to take very long. But then the electronic billing system that had been used by TELUS was changed, and we could not be grandfathered into the existing or the prior system. And the delay of having TELUS to come and install a new system, we were told, was going to be between 3 and 4 months. There was some very hard negotiation to make that happen sooner. And the imminent means that we don't quite know the day that TELUS will be installing, but the promise was that it was going to be sometime in June. So in some ways, that is the last piece of the puzzle in terms of having the lease signed, the space ready. We're now continuing to, of course, engage and re-engage the doctors that have expressed an interest to be part of the clinic. We continue to get new names come forward. And so I'm always wary now to give a date, but that's what I know about the timelines at the moment.
With it being in this kind of a situation, why was it necessary then for the county to put out a press release with it being so uncertain as to when it's going to finally open the doors and people can start to use it?
Well, I think that would be a question that you would probably need to ask county staff and county communications as to the timing of the release. My sense is that they did want to assure the public that this was in fact continuing to be on track, and to give some indication of the timelines that we were looking at. I was very frustrated and disappointed with yet more delays regarding the billing system, but understanding that some of these things were truly not in any of our control and that we just had to find a little bit more patience.
In the press release, it indicates that there's going to be limited hours, that there's going to be two afternoon and evenings on Wednesday and Fridays, and weekends from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Is that something that's confirmed?
That was always the case. That was always the plan, is to start with what we knew was realistic and that we could deliver, and at the same time to build on that. And I'm hoping that that's a starting place and that we will build on that into the future, because I think we'll start to see in very short order the demand for this service.
Who's going to be able to access the clinic?
We are emphasizing, and we've always emphasized from the very beginning, that we would like to see those who are unrostered accessing this clinic as an alternative to going to the hospital or having to drive outside of this community to seek primary care. We're very clear in messaging that those patients who already have a primary care physician, that they should continue to seek care from those physicians in the first order, and that the focus really is on unrostered patients. Having said that, we cannot turn back patients that do come, and on the weekends, there is, in fact, a billing code that will allow for that flexibility for even rostered patients to come in without their doctors being financially penalized. But it's a tricky business. There are financial penalties for rostered patients coming into walk-in clinics, not just the one proposed here in Port Hope. That's the case province-wide. And some physicians take a very clear stance with their patients about what the consequences are should they seek out a walk-in clinic.
Let me explore that a little bit further, because that's something that's been coming up in the news and is, of course, a very sensitive area for this, is that you can't really control who can come. And, you know, in a pinch, I'm sure most people would just, you know, priority of getting help rather than, you know, who am I going to go and see? So recently in the news, some doctors in Ontario are de-rostering patients who visit other doctors. Now, obviously, you're aware of that trend, but how much of it is an issue locally? What are doctors telling you?
Well, we've heard the same concerns. Obviously, we're not somehow removed from the general narrative around this and the concerns that have been raised. We continue to try to message and communicate clearly about the intent of this clinic. But at the same time, I sit on the Physician Recruitment Committee for our area. I'm actually the chair of the new strategic plan. And I intend to be conversing with Minister Jones further on this topic because it's really a systems issue, isn't it? And from a systems perspective, the cost benefit of coming into a walk-in clinic versus, say, going into a hospital is very clear. And that if we could somehow remove or be more flexible about how patients can seek primary care until we do have enough physicians for all Port Hopians, all folks across Northumberland County, all folks across Ontario, because we're definitely part of a larger problem.
But how sensitive, though, are doctors locally? Has there been a lot of pushback in Northumberland?
Well, I think that there's been mixed responses to the clinic. I think that there's absolute agreement that there are problems that need to be fixed system-wide. I think there's important advocacy that is going on from the Ontario Medical Association. I think that most doctors understand that there's a huge shortage of family doctors, and the problem is not going to get better. It's going to get worse, at least in the short period of time. But I think that solutions are hard to come by. And so while there are concerns about the implications of their patients potentially going to walk-in clinics, there aren't many alternatives that are available at the moment other than hospitals. And for a lot of families, a lot of single moms, a lot of older people, the prospect of sitting in an emergency room for 5 to 10 hours is not really all that appealing. And so we worry about people not getting care and what that means then in terms of some of the morbidity and mortality statistics that we'll start to see in not just our community, but province-wide as people delay or do not get care that they need.
So what are you going to be telling people in the community who may wish to use the clinic so they do not jeopardize their status with a physician?
Well, simply what I've already stated is we've been very clear in the communications of, you know, what the purpose is of this clinic, what are the goals, what are the objectives. When people present, they will be clearly asked the question about whether or not they do have a family doctor and encouraged to go see their family doctor. And so we'll be very clear with our messaging. And then I guess on the flip side, as you've already noted, family physicians that are in the area that have concerns also need to be communicating very clearly about their expectations of their rostered patients. It's an imperfect solution to a systemic problem.
As you were talking earlier, physician recruitment is a big challenge. Now, for this clinic to get the doctors to participate, how is that going? Are you finding that there are people locally that are going to step up, or have you had to go farther afield to get people that are interested?
The short answer is a combination of local doctors who are newly retired, doctors who are outside of the area. But I think the common denominator with all the doctors that have come forward is that they are fully committed to public health. They are fully committed to the idea that every person has the right to have access to reasonable primary care. They all understand the imperfections and stresses on the current system. And those that are local are just really feeling a sense of doing something for their community. They don't particularly like a walk-in model. I mean, we can talk about all the problems with continuity of care that does not exist in a walk-in model, as much as it doesn't exist in a hospital to a certain extent. But again, this is offering something at a time where there are no other options for many people in the community, and hoping that over the next 2 or 3 years we can move and shift in a more positive direction.
You've mentioned already some of the challenges that you've faced, the lease, the staffing, the billing system. What other unexpected challenges did you face going into this process?
I think really the biggest frustration and challenge has just been the amount of time that the process is taking, given that very early on in the process, we did have a perfectly suitable space for the clinic. We had financial support to get it off the ground. We had doctors that were ready to start working. And then there were other things that were falling a little bit off the wayside, and we had to sort them out. So I would say that really just the delays, and in many instances, the delays were just not in our control. And being patient and being resilient and being very steadfast in a belief that this is something important for the community, it has been one of the most challenging files in my time as mayor and as my time as deputy warden.
There's some crazy numbers being bounced around in terms of people needing doctors. I've seen figures as little as 4,000, but I recently did an interview with the new lead of the Ontario Health Team Northumberland, and she's suggesting numbers as high as 25,000 within the next few years.
Yes.
How does this walk-in clinic address those needs and the scale of the need going forward? I mean, are we putting a Band-Aid on a wound that needs stitches?
Well, I think, yes. I mean, I've already said that today in our discussion. This is it's a temporary, imperfect solution at a time where we don't have anything else on the table. We need to have more success in recruiting family doctors to our area. And that piece is being worked on very diligently, very aggressively. We have to make sure that the number of doctors that we know will be retiring in the next 12 to 24 months are replaced. We need to find innovative solutions to attracting doctors into the community and really showing them that this is an incredibly special place to live and to work and to become a doctor. And the old ways of doing things are not working. So we are putting together a new strategy exactly for those purposes, understanding that a walk-in clinic, like many other things at the moment, are Band-Aids. They're not the permanent solution. And we do have to work to those system level changes in order to turn this around, because 4,000, 20,000, even 100 is too high of a number of people not to have access in a country that's always prided itself on its healthcare system.
Forgive me if I wasn't clear, because I think what I was trying to get at was the scope of this issue just locally.
Yes.
It sort of is mind-boggling, the numbers that get tossed around and the amount of people when you're just out in the street and talking that'll come to you and say, oh, I don't have a GP, or I'm driving to Toronto, or I'm driving to, I've known people that are going, you know, Kingston, Peterborough, just to keep a doctor. So I guess that was what I was most interested in. How do you, because your knowledge in this and you have a background in this, how serious is it when we start talking about this level of need within the community?
It's very serious. You have to have a healthy community to have a productive community. You have to have access to basic primary care if you want to have any kind of growth. You need to have assurances for people that are wanting to come to this community to raise families, that they can get reasonable care when they need it. We have a growing elderly population. We already have an elderly population. They need assurances that their health is being taken care of as well. So any community that doesn't have enough doctors is in real crisis, because health affects so much of our lives.
I want to talk more about the partnerships, because when we started this process, or when you started this process and we were talking about it, there was yourselves as Port Hub Council and yourself and Les Andrews were out pulling this together. There were some other groups that were helping out. Now you have, for example, the community, the county is involved, and you've talked about some of the ways that it's involved. How deep is the county's commitment to this? How has that changed in terms of the dynamic of, and the role of Port Hope Council? Are they contributing money? How long are they going to do this? Can you flush out just exactly how this agreement's working?
Well, I think this is a really wonderful example of how you have two different levels of government that have come together, representatives from a lower tier and the upper tier, coming together to solve an issue that we know is an issue in the community. But I want to also say that even if we were working together, that this project would not be possible without such strong community support from the Rotary Club in Port Hope in particular, and the Port Hope and District Healthcare Foundation that came forward with very generous funding. Loyalist College has come forward with some funding. The town of Coburg has also made a commitment to funding. So there have been a number of key stakeholders that have come forward with the supports that are required in order to get this project off the ground. The county is, I guess you can say, taking the risk of being the leaseholder, overseeing some of the more technical parts of it, some of the HR aspects of it. To date, we have not asked county to be making any kind of financial contributions beyond the staff time that has been spent in helping to move through these final stages.
How long has the county committed to this project? Is this an ongoing thing? Is there a timeline on it?
No, it's positioned as a pilot. So we're going to see, obviously everybody wants to see how this goes, how it unfolds. It's hard to have a crystal ball. The hope ideally is that at some point there would be a group of doctors, or maybe it's a doctor that would want to take over the administrative duties and oversight of such a walk-in clinic. It may be that the walk-in clinic turns into something different over time that aligns with some of the funding opportunities that become available through the province of Ontario. So I think we'll be well positioned to see whatever opportunities might come our way, but hoping that there may be some doctors that maybe they don't want the full responsibility of having a practice, coming together and seeing that this is a model that they're comfortable in working in overseeing. But, you know, I think it's too early to say what will be, but we do have a commitment for a year's time to see how things will unfold.
Has there been any indication of support from the Ontario government?
It's not something that we have talked about at the province, in particular around walk-in clinics. I think the kinds of conversations we're having really is how do we increase the number of doctors that are available for practice. We have had discussions and some very productive conversations about how to upskill and support foreign trained doctors that are already living in our community. We don't have to convince them to move here. They're already here. And so how do we get them into the system, understanding that there's always roadblocks and bottlenecks and challenges of retraining within a Canadian context and within a provincial context? So are there things that could be done to cut that red tape down a bit and get those folks into the system as quickly as possible, not lose those human resources that we already have in the country and that we already have in the community?
You've mentioned the number of groups that have stepped up from Port Hope, but how has the community reaction been to this initiative as you've been navigating these waters trying to move forward?
Robert, I would say overwhelmingly, there's been a supportive stance towards this clinic. Everybody understands the need. Everybody knows somebody, or is that somebody that does not have access to a family physician. Everybody knows the stories of the wait times in emergency rooms. We don't want to overwhelm our excellent hospital. They have a lot of responsibilities to deal with a whole range of health issues in our community. We don't want those health professionals in those settings to be burned out. Or for our emergency room here at Northumberland Hills Hospital, for example, to close because they can't keep up with the demand. So I would say that there is overwhelming support to see this open in the community.
You've mentioned how important it is to have physician recruitment, and you've talked about a new strategy. Can you just flesh out a little bit more about the background of this physician recruitment strategy and when you hope to have that tabled?
It's in its very nascent stages at the moment, so we're just starting to sort out the elements of the strategy, the different kinds of activities and outputs and outcomes that we want to see through a logic framework modeling. Anticipate that we'll want to have something in a draft form in the next 2 or 3 months.
Am I not mistaken that each municipality has had a physician recruitment, or there are a number of physician recruitment initiatives within Northumberland County currently?
A number of municipalities come together in the physician recruitment space. And so right now we very much are working together as a community, because I think it really warrants that kind of collective attention and effort. And I think we're on the right track to really forging a new path. And as I said, I hope that in the next 2 or 3 months that we'll be able to share that publicly, and that we'll also be able to reach out to Alderville Nation and see how we could engage them in this strategy as well. So it's pressing, it's timely, and it certainly got all of our attention, those of us who are working on it.
What's next?
What's next? Patience over the next 2 or 3 weeks to see how all the pieces are finally going to come together. I'll be thrilled when we do have that moment where we say, yes, we've done it, and we're ready to open the doors. I'm really hoping that we're going to see that, as the press release said, imminently. I'm really hoping that some of the conversations that we do have at the provincial level about the shortage of physicians and some system-wide changes, that we'll see some traction happen there. I intend that our new strategic plan that we're putting together will also have some success in recruiting new physicians to our area, and at the very least to ensure that those that are retiring are replaced in a timely fashion, and that over time that all the different pieces come together so that we can enjoy that fundamental human right to health.
Olena Hankovinsky, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Robert. I appreciate it.
That was Port Hope Mayor Olena Hankovinsky. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.